My name is John, and I am blessed to serve as a pastor here. And if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my wife, Joy, and I will be right there in the foyer, right under all the blue gift bags, and we would love to just say hi. So stop by after service and let us know you're here. We would be honored that you would talk to us for a moment. God is good, and all the time. I'm going to invite you to find your way to Esther, chapter number 4, and as you're finding your way there, let me encourage you, next Sunday, we have a lot going on next Sunday. If you are maybe have recently given your life to Christ, or maybe you gave your life to Christ a long time ago and you've never followed in believer's baptism, next Sunday, March the 9th, we have baptism class, and so if you're interested in that, you can scan the QR code on the screen, or you can also just scan the QR code right in front of you on the pew and just register for the class. It'll be at 10:45 next Sunday. And March 23rd, we will have our baptism service, and so we would invite you to be a part of that if you want to register for the class. Also, next Sunday, we have our membership class, Discover Hallmark, and again, you could scan the QR code on the screen or the one right there in front of you in the pew, and it'll be at 10:45 as well next Sunday. If you're interested in understanding or knowing what it means to be a member of Hallmark and how you can be a member, then that would be a great next step for you next Sunday. But register, because we need to know how much food to buy, and we'll provide lunch, and if you need childcare, we'll provide that as well, but you need to let us know that you're coming and the childcare if that is needed. So hopefully you grabbed, somebody handed you one of these magnets this morning. If not, they should be available on your way out. This is just a reminder of our theme for the next 2 years, Beyond, as Billy mentioned in 2 Corinthians 8 is where we get this word beyond from. And in 2 Corinthians 8 verses 3 through 5, hopefully you've set your alarm at 8:35 to remind you of 2 Corinthians 8:35, and Paul says, I bear witness according to their ability. This is talking about that the churches in Macedonia, beyond their ability, they were freely willing. They were willing to give. And the verses before that we don't have on the screen simply say that they were being persecuted and they were poor. And even though they were persecuted and poor Christians, they were excited and willing to give beyond their ability. In verse 4, it says, imploring us with much urgency that we receive the gift. They were begging to give, and the fellowship, the ministering of the saints. And then verse 5, it says that they first, like, gave themselves to the Lord and then to us, the church, by the will of God. In other words, we're challenging you to go beyond in your faith and in your fellowship. Faith being your commitment to the Lord, fellowship, the commitment to His church. So you should have right around you one of these brochures, and I want to kind of quickly walk through this a little bit with you this morning. Just some of you have gotten tons of information about this. Some of you, this may be your first Sunday here, or you just haven't been a part of hearing what was going on over the next 2 years, this Beyond. It's really a faith journey. The first page there, you can read the letter. I'm not going to read the letter that I wrote to you publicly, okay? There's great, great looking man there on the page, the second page there. And then if you open up and it says here, living out a legacy. I love these old photos. The top photo on the right is probably late 1970s. And I love on the top of the bus, it says a worldwide vision. Hallmark, you know, we talk about on the next page these core values. These has always been the core values of Hallmark, that we're biblically driven, that we're radically generous, personally involved, and outwardly focused. The middle picture, the biggest one there, was predates me by a few years. Hopefully you understand that, but I think that was probably in the 50s. And then the bottom right picture there is probably 1996. It was right before I moved here, I think, and they were groundbreaking for the first building we built, the Family Center. That's that picture there. So if you turn to the next page, it kind of gets to the big goal for the next 2 years as we join this journey together of growing our faith and our fellowship and going beyond. And so God ask is that we could raise $1.3 million over the next 2 years to pay off debt. How many of you, when you think about, so when I think about debt and getting out of debt, the one word that comes to my mind is freedom. Have you ever experienced the freedom of getting out of debt? Hopefully you, if you haven't, you'll experience that soon, or maybe you're not in debt, so even better for you. But when I think of getting out of debt, I think of this word freedom. I think of our core value of radical generosity, that if we could be radically generous and God would allow us to pay off this debt, what could we do with $20,000 a month that we're sending now to pay a mortgage? How much more could we bless our community and bless missionaries all over the world? Last year, you, Hallmark, you gave like $710,000 to missions in our missions budget. That's significant. That's amazing. What would it be like, though, if we could one day, my prayer is that in the next 5 years, we would reach a $1 million a year. That through this church, God would allow us to give $1 million a year just to give it away to missions all over the world. Wouldn't that be awesome to be a part of that? And so this is, I think, a step towards that is getting rid of our debt. In 2008, my wife and I found a book. Somebody handed me the book that was called Total Money Makeover. This book was written by Dave Ramsey, and it was basically how to get out of debt. We took the challenge. We went all in. My wife and I, and our kids were little back then, and they hated hearing the words, "It's not in the..." You guys have been through it too, right? It's not in the budget. In fact, we, for 18 months, we did everything we could to get out of debt, short of selling our kids into slavery. We were just trying to get out of debt as quickly as possible. And I remember being on the phone. If I remember right, I was in like the school pickup lines, and I was on the phone with Dave Ramsey radio show on Friday, you know, Debt Free Friday. How many of you remember listening to Debt Free Friday? And they would play the theme music from Braveheart, and people would tell their story, and then they would yell out, "Freedom!" And I was so anxious to do that. In fact, I missed my moment because I stayed on the phone for like 3 hours, and I was like, forget it. I'm never going to get on the call. And I'm kind of melancholy about it this morning as I think about it. Could you guys give me my moment today? Would you join me in my moment? Okay, would you join me in my moment? I didn't hear much confidence there. Okay, on the count of three, we're just going to yell freedom. Can you do that? Okay. I feel like I'm on an island here. All right, one, two, three, freedom. That's right. That's what I think about of getting out of debt. And here's the rest of the story. It took us about 18 months to get our debt paid off. And in 2010, we had been serving here at Hallmark for 13 years at that point. God was stirring us up to move in a new direction. And we got a call to go pastor a small church in a small town in Kansas. There may have been 40 adults in the church when we got there. And I remember telling him, yes, God has called us here. We're coming. And I remember walking out on this side of the parking lot one day, and the guy finally says, "Do you want to know how much we're going to pay you?" I said, "Yeah, that'd probably be a good idea. But I've already committed. Like, we're going. God has called us. We're going." And I remember when he told me how much they were going to pay me, I was like, oh, my word. Wow. We can't do that. And here's the truth. If we hadn't spent the last 18 months getting out of debt, there's no way we could have moved on that little of money. Here's what I think about is that if we hadn't walked in obedience in 2008, we couldn't have walked in faith in 2010. And that's what I think for us, Hallmark, that's where we're at. That God is asking us as a church to come together, to go beyond in our area of giving, and over the next 2 years, be able to pay off this debt so that we can walk now in obedience and in the future in faith. Because I think God wants to do some big things at Hallmark Church. I don't think God's done blessing his church. I think God has blessed us with this amazing facility because he wants us to fill it with people and lead them to find and follow Jesus. And so let's keep going on our deal, right? So you can take time to read the next one, who we are. This talks about like dreaming about what can we do with the $25,000. I love this statement right here on the right above the word that says why. It says beyond is about more than paying a bill. It's about transformation. It's about saying yes to God's call to be hands and feet of Jesus in South Fort Worth and around the world. It's about dreaming and preparing for what God can accomplish through us for his glory. The next page is like frequently asked questions or frequently asked questions we thought you might ask. I'll just let you take time to read that on your own. And then the next page, our responsibility. And then it has this plan, prepare, and pray. And so I'll direct you as we talk about the plan. You should have this card. This card should be in your brochure. And so I'm excited about this because on March 23rd, in a couple weeks, we're going to have Celebration Sunday, Commitment Sunday. We're going to encourage you as an individual or maybe a couple or as your family to fill this card out that you're going to put your, you know, all your information there. Maybe you want to start serving. We're going to have the ministry fair coming up, but you could just put it on this card and say, I want to start serving, or I'm going to commit to go on a mission trip over the next 2 or 3 years. Maybe you can't make it happen next year, but just maybe you could write in 2027. I'm going to try to go in 2027. And then the last one, I'm going to give. It has two spots there. My first fruits offering, which is April the 13th, which is Palm Sunday, right before Easter, the week before Easter. And so you may decide, I'm gonna ask God to allow me to give whatever that number is. And then the next box is like that reoccurring gift. For the next 2 years, I'm gonna ask God to help me give. I love the back of this card because it shows that a little bit adds up. And if we all get involved, a lot can happen. Like we can go further together. I think of this first line on the back says weekly. If you gave $10 a week to the Beyond Fund over the next 2 years, you'd give nearly $1,000. I think maybe there's some high school students that would get a vision to think, you know what? I could give. I could figure out a way to. I mean, that's one subscription to Spotify or whatever, right? I'm going to give up my subscription so over the next 2 years I could give $1,000. Whatever that might be, you know, for my wife and I, we've already started making sacrifices and canceling things. In fact, I had to, this is such a huge sacrifice, I had to hand wash my truck yesterday. My habit is to take it to the car wash every Saturday before, you know, it's got to look good for Sunday kind of thing. And I, you know, paid a monthly thing to do that. And well, I had to get rid of it. So my wife told me, I did get rid of it. So if you see my car and truck and it's not very clean, that's because I did it. Okay. But start thinking sacrifice. So March 23rd. It's family worship. That means our kindergarten up is going to be in with us. And what a great opportunity for you as a family to sit down and think, hey, what are some things we could sacrifice over the next 2 years to give? And what we're praying about is that the goal that God has given us for the next 2 years is kind of that beyond. Like, we don't have it in the budget. We're just asking God to provide. And we're praying that by April the 13th, God would provide 10% of that so we can give it in the first fruits offering to kind of kick off our giving and sacrifice to the Lord. So we're going to get to stick these in these boxes on the 23rd. And then there's going to be a display up here with opportunity for you to grab a sticker and place it on the mountain or the journey, just signifying that we're in this together. We're going to sign up and we're going to see what God could do through us over the next 2 years. So I'm excited about it. If you have any questions, you should be able to bring those up in your Connect group. They'll talk about that this morning in your Connect group. But take this home as it talks about there, your plan. Like, talk this over. Talk it through. The prayer at the bottom, we're going to have a prayer journey. I'm excited about this. Billy mentioned that a little bit about opportunity for you and your family to go drive around to different spots. Next week, we'll have a package available for those of you who have kids and for those of you who don't have kids. There's going to be some extra things in the kids package for your kids to get involved and be a part of this prayer journey. So stay tuned. Get your packet next week and then the week of spring break, you'll have an opportunity on your own time to go pray over our community. So Esther chapter 4. Again, as we've been talking about these different characters who went beyond, right? Beyond me is the theme, but they went beyond what they could do because God, as we have talked about the last 30 weeks, maybe even longer, is that it's in the very bottom of your outline this morning. It says these like three presuppositions. God is always at work around you. God invites you to be involved in what he's doing. You can't stay where you are and go with God. That's what we're going to see continually in all of these stories. Like we looked at Joshua, this statement, commit to serving God based on his faithfulness to you. Moses, stop making excuses. Join God in what he's doing. Daniel, trust God in your trials because faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Last week we looked at Abraham, the idea, trust God and go where he is leading. So Esther, in the story of Esther, we don't have time to this morning to unpack the whole story, but I think I ought to give you a little bit of context as we jump into the middle of a story in chapter number 4. So the king, Xerxes, or Ahasuerus, the Hebrew name for that, King Xerxes is the king. In chapter 1, he summons his queen Vashti to come before him, and she decides she doesn't want to appear before a bunch of drunk men, so she doesn't come. So he's like, you're not my queen anymore. In chapter 2, they have this, the Persian Empire has this, you know, nationwide beauty contest. This Jewish orphan girl named Esther. Her Hebrew name, Hadassah, but her Persian name, Esther, meaning bright morning star. Come Wednesday night, we'll talk a little more about that at 6:30, but she wins the beauty contest, this orphan girl. In chapter 3, Haman, this man who's been raised up to the highest level under the king in the Persian Empire, he despises this man named Mordecai. Mordecai is a Jew who happened to be the adopted Esther into his family and raised her after she was an orphan girl, a cousin of Esther's. And Haman hates Mordecai because Mordecai, when Haman goes down the street, he's expecting everyone to bow and to worship him. And Haman is not going to do that because he's only going to worship Yahweh. And so Haman is angry. So Haman decides to get the king to make a decree that on this certain day, 11 months away from now, that anyone in the Persian Empire can kill a Jewish person who's living in Persia at this time, which there were millions living in Persia at this time. And not only could they have the authority by the king to kill the Jews, but he would pay them if they would kill the Jews. In fact, in chapter 3, it says like 10,000 talents of silver. This morning, I asked Siri, how much is 10,000 talents of silver? 375 tons, or how many ounces? So then I'm like, well, how many ounces of that? 12 million ounces of silver. Then I'm like, how much is silver today? 31.28 per ounce, which then in today's equivalent, 375,360,000 is what they allotted for the Persians to kill the Jews. Pretty amazing story, right? And that's where we jump in to chapter 4. Let me read the chapter 4. So when Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes as a way the Jewish people would mourn. He went out in the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came in and told her the queen was deeply distressed. She's distressed that her cousin, the one who raised her, is out in the streets in sackcloth and ashes. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take the sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Verse 5, then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs from whom he had appointed to attend to her. She gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why. So she sends her servant out, go find out what's going on. Verse 6, so Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square, and it was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. This is what the 10,000 talents of silver I was talking about. Verse number 8, He also gave him a copy of the written decree for the destruction which was given at Shushan, that he might show to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people, the Jewish people. Verse 9, so Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai, like he's going back and forth, messaging back and forth. In verse 10, then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him the command for Mordecai, and all the king's servants and all the people of the king's province know that any man or woman who goes into the inner courts of the king who has not been summoned or called, he has but one law: put them to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. In other words, I can't just go into the king if he doesn't summons me, and if I go into the king, I could be killed just for walking in, depending on his emotions that day. Then she goes on to give a little extra context of what are you asking me to do? She says, I myself, the queen, I've not been called to go into the king for 30 days. You're asking a lot, is what she's saying. Verse 12, so they told Mordecai Esther's words. Verse 13, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think that in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Then he asked this question, probably the most famous verse of all of Esther. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom? Remember, you were an orphan Jewish girl who just somehow became the queen of Persia. So he says, maybe you came to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, remember. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according all that Esther commanded him. I wouldn't have time to read the rest of the story, but I'll give you the rest of the story. Esther goes before the king. He doesn't kill her. She pleads her case, and then the roles are reversed, and now Haman, her cousin, is second in command, Haman, who tried to kill Mordecai, is killed. So all live happily ever after. That's the end of the story, okay? I would encourage you to take time to read the rest of it. But for sake of time this morning, let's kind of unpack chapter 4. See, Esther, this orphan Jewish girl, finds herself as queen of the Persian Empire. I don't think there are happenstances or coincidences. I think the book of Esther reminds us of the sovereignty and the providence of God, that God is working, that as we made this statement over and over the last few weeks, that God is working. God invites us to be involved in what he's doing, but you can't stay where you are and go with God. And this is just highlighted significantly for us in the book of Esther. And Esther, from nothing, lives a life of significance. And I want to think for you this morning, and you don't have to answer this question, but I want you to think, because I feel like in all of us, there's something in us that wants to live a life of significance. I think that for all of us, there's some kind of desire that we want our life to count for something, that there's something in us that wants our life to have meaning and purpose. And it seems like for me, the older I get, the more that resonates within me. I don't want to get to the end of my life and think, what have I wasted my life for? How have I invested? I love this quote that's on your outline this morning. And it says, stop spending your life and start investing your life. As we think about this morning, do you want to live a life of significance like Esther? Number one, if you look on this, I'm just going to give you four things this morning. Opportunity presented, right? Opportunity presented. She's given this opportunity. Verse 8, He also gave Hathach the copy of the written decree for the destruction and went to go make the plea before Esther. You have to do something. You have this opportunity. God has brought you into the kingdom and it's your responsibility. You have this opportunity to live a life of significance. He asked this question. Maybe, just maybe, God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. It made me think of this idea of time or significance or our moment. There were two times in the New Testament that Jesus found himself weeping. One of those times when he was at the memorial service and he goes to the tomb of his friend Lazarus. And he weeps and he mourns with those who mourn, as he talked about in Matthew chapter 5. The other time is in the Luke chapter number 19, and Jesus has just had the triumphal entry, and as he's about to enter Jerusalem, and he's up on the hill, and he looks over the city of Jerusalem, and he cries out, he weeps over the people of Jerusalem, because he says that in the end of the chapter, they have missed their time. They missed their moment. You see in the Hebrew, in the Greek language, now, we think of time, most often we think of like, what time is it? It's 10:20. Well, how much time? 10:20. Or we think on a calendar of time, it's March 23rd, it's Commitment Sunday, and we're going to take our cards and put them in there. April 13th is Good Friday, it is Palm Sunday, and we're going to First Fruits Offering. We think of time like that, and that's not always the word in Greek. When Jesus looks over the people of Jerusalem and they missed their time, they didn't realize what time it was. It's not the word charos that we get our word chronological. It's the word kairos. What does this word kairos mean? It's a much deeper understanding of the word time. It's, think in terms of, we hear the phrase, seize the day or seize the moment. It's like the divine appointment that God had. I remember in the fall of 1992, I was sitting minding my own business at Bible College on a Saturday morning eating my breakfast. And this beautiful young lady across the cafeteria, she looked over and saw this stunning man over there. And she seized the moment. She walked across the cafeteria and said, "John, what are you doing?" "I don't know. What are you doing?" "No. Joy, you almost missed your moment." I'm thankful she walked across the cafeteria. And then you know what happens? We set up a date, and she stood me up. And I had missed my moment. Long story short, we've been married almost 32 years, right? I'm thankful that she seized the moment. And Hallmark, I think when you study the history of Hallmark, there's been these kairos moments. There's been these moments when there's opportunities for us to, the divine appointment, right? That God is initiating, right? God is always at work around us. God invites us to be involved in what he's doing, but we can't stay where we are and go with God. And there's been those kairos moments over the year. In fact, I have this display. It's going to be a picture on the screen for us. This is really heavy, so pray I don't drop it. But this is a display. I want to show it to you. I took a picture of it, so it'll be on the screen. I don't know if you can read it on the screen any better than you can read it on here. No, you can't. But if you could, I look at this list, and I've taken time and read every name on this list. Many of these names I know. There's people so real quickly, what they did it says 1971. They were wanting to build another building, and the church had a kairos moment. Are we going to be involved in what God is doing? And what they did, which I really don't think you could do this now, but they set up like a line of credit at the bank, and everyone on this list went to the bank and took out a line of credit for $1,500, and the bank then would transfer that money to the church, and the individual now had a $15 loan that they had to pay back to the bank. I don't know if they would do that anymore, right? But in 1971, this many people decided they wanted to go beyond. And I remember talking to AM and Wani Irwin about this. I feel kind of liberty to talk to them about it because they're not here today. Pray for AM. I think he had a light stroke last night. He's in the hospital. But he was a principal of a school, single income, family, little kids at home. And they went and said, God wants us to go beyond and sacrifice. And I would call out some names. I see Mary Crumpton back there. Her name's on here. People who were just, Elaine Lindsay. Hey, Elaine. See, her name's on here. I see Glenda and Jenna right there together. The Knowles, their names are on here. And I think I saw Pam Whitener. Pam's name is on here. I wasn't going to give names because I know I'm going to forget somebody, but that's just who visually I saw walk in this morning. And I think for us today that we've been brought to this point, to this place, as Billy mentioned, because of the people who went beyond before us. And the reason that I want to go beyond now is because there's another generation. There's names on this list. I have no idea who they are. There's names on this list, and depending on what they can see from heaven or not, I don't know. They never saw this piece of property, but they gave. And for us this morning, I just want to encourage you, there's an opportunity before us. There's this Kairos moment. The opportunity was presented. Number two, the cost was counted. Remember what she said? I don't know, cuz, if you know this, but not anybody can just walk into the king. Not even the queen. If I walk in, he could kill me. And remember, he hasn't summoned me for 30 days, his own queen. These people on this list, they counted the cost. They thought it was worth it. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people count the cost and let the cost count them out. It's not worth it. I've told this story before, but you guys have probably know of Borden Dairy, or you got Borden Milk, or maybe their cottage cheese or whatever, but William Borden was the heir to all of that money and all of that business. And when he graduated high school, his family, because they had lots of money, sent him on a trip around the world. And while he was traveling around the world, he got a burden for the Muslim people located in China. And he made a decision as a high school student, I'm not going to go take the family business. He went and he wrote in his Bible, no reserves. Went to college at Yale, got his degree, started all kinds of ministry there. I don't have time to talk about that. And as he graduated college, the family once again, are you sure you don't want to take over the business? Look at all that you're throwing away. And he wrote two more words in his Bible. He wrote, no retreats. So he travels. He goes to Egypt first to learn Arabic. He's not there very long, contracts a disease, and dies. 26-year-old, before he ever made it to where he felt like God was calling him. But right before he died, he wrote two more words in the back of his Bible. No regret. And I think, what if we lived our life like that? No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. And what did Esther say? If I perish, I perish. I'm going to walk in obedience. Opportunity presented, cost counted, challenge given. That's pretty simple, right? The challenge of verse number 13. Go to the king. Don't you know you're Jewish? They're going to find it out. you're going to die. Realize God's going to find another way if you don't do this. But then he poses the question, what if the reason you're in the kingdom for such a time as this? What if this is your kairos? What if this is your moment? What if this is your opportunity of getting involved in what God is doing? Number four, challenge accepted. She says, we'll call everyone together, pray and fast for 3 days. And after the 3 days, I'll go to the king. And if I die, I die. And as we said, the story ends. They live happily ever after. The point of the story today is not so much the end of it, but it's this chapter. That in your life, what I'm convinced today is that every one of us has a next step. Every one of us, God has got an opportunity in front of us. Will we accept the challenge? Will we count the cost and let the cost count us out? Or will we accept the challenge and say, God, whatever you want from me, I'm willing. Sign me up. I surrender. Whatever you want, God. Is that to go? Is that to give? Is that to serve? Is it all three? It brings us back to the three statements. God is always at work around you. God invites you to be involved in what he's doing, but you can't stay where you are and go with God. I want to ask you just to close your eyes for a moment. And this morning, I want to just give you a moment here to talk to the Lord. I am convinced there's something God wants for you, and there is a step of faith God is asking of you. And if we don't walk in obedience now, we can't walk in faith later. What step of faith? Again, it may be to scan the QR code and sign up for baptism class. It may be to scan the QR code and sign up for membership class. I don't know. It may be to take this commitment card home and say, what would you have me do, Lord? I'm going to pray over this. Is this my opportunity to be a part of what you're doing here in this community and around the world? I guess my heart of this is I don't want anyone to miss their moment. God has invited you to be a part of what he is doing. And that you would say, God, not now. Not interested. I'm going to ask you in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song of worship, Waymaker, that God always makes a way. When you take the step of faith, God will make a way. And I'm going to challenge you in a moment when we stand and while we sing, if God has stirred in your heart, maybe today the step is just to come forward and kneel at the altar and say, God, I'm yours. I surrender. I don't want to miss my moment. I want to walk in obedience so I can walk in faith. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your grace in our life. God, you've been so good to this church. You've been faithful to this church for 77 plus years now. Lord, what we get to enjoy in these facilities every single day is due to a lot of people sacrificing, but ultimately, God, it's because of your supply. And we thank you. But Lord, I pray that in the next few weeks, you would stir in our heart to truly pray, God, how can we sacrifice? What can we commit? How could we go beyond together? Lord, with the goal to advance your kingdom for your glory. I'm going to invite you to stand. Again, if you want to come forward and pray, if you want to just sing and worship, or, you know, you can always sit and pray, no matter what we're doing here, all right?